Awesome. Bless you. Bless you. Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? We good? Awesome. Well, it is an absolute honor to be here this morning. And first of all, I just really wanted to honor Pastor Bruce and Pastor Sandy and say thank you for entrusting me for being here and speaking to your people. And I just also wanted to honor you because you answered the call to ministry. And I know that ministry can be all-consuming. And there is a lot of giving to it. There sometimes feels as though there's no rest with it, but you answer the call and God blesses that. And I just am so grateful to be here and be here behind the pulpit, something that, you know, I don't take lightly. And it's such an honor to be here. But I just want to honor you and your beautiful wife. So come on, church, can we put our hands together for Pastor Bruce? Also, well, I do, as Pastor Bruce said, my name is Jermaine. My beautiful wife, Nadine, can't be here. We tried to make it work, but I've got the next best, my son Jairus here, who's my support crew, but that's okay. I do have a photo that may come up this morning. I do have a family. Together, Nadine and I have four boys. So we have four boys under the age of nine. So one is nine, one is seven, we have a six-year-old and a four-year-old. And then we also have a 21-year-old daughter. And so that's our family. And I'll tell you, we don't have technology in the home, so our boys are very outdoor boys. And we love it that way. So they're into hunting and fishing and everything else that comes with that. The amount of rugby balls and tennis balls and every other ball you can think of is in our backyard. And we absolutely love it that way. And but that's a little bit about my family. But I've got a word for you, church. So if you're ready, anyone brought their Bibles this morning? Come on, we're calling it the Bible Revival at MCC. We're going to bring back the Bibles. And because I just, something about the pages, amen. There's something about getting into the physical Bible. So if you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you open them up to the book of Romans, chapter 10 this morning. We're going to start at verse 9. We've got a couple of verses to get through. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you didn't bring your Bibles this morning, it does come up on the screen. It says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And these are the first. These are the next verses I really want to bring focus to. It says in verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed on? And it says, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Can I get an amen this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are the one who allowed us to wake up this morning, to have the air that we breathe, the clothes on our back, the food on the table, Lord God, the roof over our heads. Lord God, you are amazing. We just want to honor you this morning, Lord, for your church and for your idea. And for what you are doing in this community. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as I preach your word, Lord God, and as I share what's on my heart, that you would penetrate the hearts of your people today, yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Father, that they would leave different to the way that they walked in this morning. Amen. We believe this morning for a breakthrough for solid ground, Lord God. Yes. We thank you that it is you that brings that breakthrough. And so, Father, would you just come right now and settle in this building. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence over us. And today we want to honor you. We look to you. We thank you that there is no one beside you, above you. Lord, no one even comes close. Lord God, we honor you in this place. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I grew up here in Masterton at a little house, 60 Bannister Street. And I have five siblings. My father was very, very abusive. I grew up with a mother who never told me that she loved me until I was a teenager. And so we grew up in this very dysfunctional home where my father was very, very abusive. He was verbally abusive, physically abusive. And I just want to share a couple of stories. So I never forget this one particular time when we were kids and we came home from school. I was at primary school. I came home. We went into the lounge. We were watching TV. And my brother, my older brother, he was the one that was always in a lot of trouble. And he would come home and my father would beat him up. And we came in, we were in the lounge, and we were there, and all of us were there. My father was coming home from work, and he walks into the lounge, and he says to us, "Hey, everybody out of the lounge except you." And he looked at my older brother. And so we went into the other room, and we heard through the wall this scuffle and this arguing and this crying and this beating that had been taking place. And so when all of that had stopped, my mother had went in and sort of calmed everything down, and my father ended up turning on my mother. And so all of this would take place. And when we went into the lounge, the very thing that I seen on the walls was blood. And so my father had bit my brother so bad that my brother had run off. And this happened all the time in our home. And there was one particular time where, I never forget, I was sitting in the lounge. Oh, sorry, I was sitting in the hallway. I was waiting for my older sister to come home. And she was due home at a certain time. My father was so upset, so angry that he was waiting for her, because there was a particular time that she had to be home, but she never returned him. And so she came in, and my father was so furious, so upset, so angry, that he grabbed her by the neck and held her up against the wall. And I'm sitting there watching all of this take place. And I can, in my mind, I'm like, well, how can I help my younger sister? And I just know that in my own strength, I couldn't. And my father's just like abusing her and yelling at her and screaming at her, saying that if you ever do that again, I'm gonna punish you. And so these are the things that I grew up around in our very home. There was a lot of parties, a lot of drinking. There was this one particular time where my younger sister and I, we went down the road to our auntie's because my mum and dad were having a party. And so they had this party, and the next day we came home. We were walking down the road towards our house, and I see my older sister come out of the home. She ran down to us and she said, "Look, mum and dad's mum has taken off, and now she's in women's refuge." And we're little kids, we're thinking, "Well, what is women's refuge, and why is mum taken off from us?" So we turn up home, and dad he's crying, and we don't understand what's going on. But what we find out later down the track is that they had a party and there was an argument that broke out. And my father had grabbed the guitar and wasted my mum with the guitar. And so my mum had left my father and taken off from him and went into the woman's refuge. And so for a long time as kids, this was our life. And so this is what we seen in the house. And there was one time when my mother had enough. She had enough. She went into our kitchen. One, she wanted to give up her life. She didn't want to be in the marriage. She didn't want to be in the house. She just wanted to throw it all in. And she cried out to God. She went into our kitchen and she's like, "God, if you're real, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if I can hear you. I don't know what you sound like, who you are. I know nothing about you, but if you're real, would you please help me?" And the crazy thing about this is that my mom was in the kitchen crying out to God. But she'd never heard anything about Jesus, about God, about anything to do with him. Except this one particular time where around her Christmas table as a kid, her mother would tell her to thank Jesus for their Christmas meal. That was it. That's all she's heard. And so her whole life, she's like, "Well, who is this Jesus that we pray to?" All she seen was this picture of him on the wall that they had hanging there. And so fast forward, here she is in the kitchen crying out to God, "God, if you're real, please come and help me." And I kid you not, the point of this whole story is about this one woman who shows up on our doorstep. And she comes and she's holding a Bible. And the next day she knocks on our door. We don't even know who she is. She comes and she knocks on the door, and my mother answers the door. And this lady says, "I feel to come to this very home to tell somebody about Jesus." And I kid you not, my mum broke down right at that door, because she knew that in that very moment God had answered her prayer. And she knew that in that very moment that God was real, and he loved her, and he's seen her, and he knows her, and he has a plan and a purpose for her. That's the crazy thing about all of this, was that one woman, the obedience of the one woman that knocked on our door so that she could come and tell mum about Jesus. And so what happens is she takes her into the kitchen, and this woman leads her to Christ. And the amazing thing, the grace of God, is that he now saves my mum. And my mum ends up going to different churches trying to figure out who this Jesus is. And so she does. And so my whole life is watching her life unfold. And the amazing thing about God is that if one person can know Christ for himself, for herself, many will come after her or him. And guess what? My father ended up coming to the Lord. My brother ended up coming to the Lord. And now look, here I am here, preaching here at Solid Ground, all because of the obedience of one woman who decided to go and tell somebody about Christ. But you see, if this woman did not come to our home, the gospel would not have been shared. If she did not come to our home to declare the good news that Jesus saves, we may not have been here. But the fact is that she came to our home, she shared the gospel, and she allowed God to do the rest. And so I have a question for you this morning, church. I have a question, and my question is this. Will you go? Will you do the same? Will you tell others about Jesus? Will you share the gospel? Will you tell people that Jesus saves, that God forgives, and the good news that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin and is now risen from the dead? Will you tell others? Because the Apostle Paul in our scripture this morning, he says in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, it says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In verse 13 it says that, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then what Paul does is that even though he believes this to be true, that God saves by the confession of your mouth and a heart belief, the question then arises from the statement. And the questions are this in verse 14. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so I ask you again, church, will you go? Will you tell others? And you may have heard this a lot, but our lives are not our own, right? They are not our own once we surrender to the Lord. And we put aside our will, and we take up his ways, and we yield to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we say, "Here I am, God, use me." Our lives then become God's. But only if you are willing. And when you are willing, God then sends us on a journey. It is a mission, a call to go out and to share the gospel and to stand for what is right and just. Not through the lens of our own eyes, but through the way that God sees it, through what his word says. It's not to condemn, not to blame, not to point the finger at all, but instead in love and in grace and in compassion and in truth, knowing that we are sent by Jesus himself to a cause that is much greater than ourselves. And so now that you are saved, if you are saved, you know that it's not about you, right? Yeah. Oh, you haven't heard. You see, the Bible is God's rescue plan for all of humanity. And the story runs from the beginning to the end. And it is centered on who God is, what's gone wrong, and how it is made right again. Because you see, God's creation, God created everything good. Humanity ruined it and turned away. And God begins this rescue plan. And Jesus is the center of that rescue plan. And now a new life and a new future can be freely received through faith in Jesus. And you see, the Bible is about God's plan to save and restore people through Jesus so they get to know Him and live for Him. And guess what? You are a part of it. You're a part of this plan. Yes, you, church. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a part of it. Come on, say it like you believe it. Say, you're a part of it. You are, church, invited. You are invited into this plan, into God's plan. And your role in God's plan is both personal and purposeful. Well, how does it work? Well, let me tell you that the first thing is that you are invited into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that anyone can be forgiven and brought back to God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says this: yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And this means that your first place in God's plan is to simply know God and to know that you are loved by Him. And the next part of the plan is that now you are called to be transformed. Because God's plan isn't just to save people, but to change people from the inside out. And when you allow God to do a work in you, then you start to become more like Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And you see, church, transformation is essential. It is a part of God's ultimate plan. It is you loving Him. And as you grow more in love with Him, then you become like Him. And you grow from the inside out, and you allow transformation to take place in your lives. But you see, the final piece of God's plan is for you and I to play a part in all of it. Because your life, my life, is connected to something bigger than just the present. And you know, Matthew chapter 28 says, Jesus says, therefore, when you say go, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, leaving us with a mission that He can see that goes beyond ourselves. And in other words, that when you are saved, when you are forgiven, when you have been washed clean and been transformed and been discipled, and now you are a part of God's big picture by knowing Him, being changed by Him, and now living a life that is sent and helping others to know our God by loving like Him, just as God has loved you. And you see, it's that final point of helping others to know Him and loving like Him that I cannot emphasize enough. Because our lives are not ultimately about ourselves, but about God and His purposes. It is about what God has sent you to do. For He has given us a mission. A mission to be a part of, and that mission is really the Great Commission. And you see, the Apostle Paul in our scripture this morning is explaining that many people, especially the Israelites, were trying to be righteous by following the law, but they missed the point because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and righteousness comes through trusting in Him. And he goes on to explain that salvation is accessible to everyone. Everyone. It's open to everyone. It's a free offer. That's what John 3:16 is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, it's the whosoever, it's the invite to the entire world, not just us. Amen. It's everybody. Whoever. So he cries out, whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's accessible to everyone. And you don't need to do anything extreme to reach God. No, anyone can be saved through faith. Because Christ has provided our salvation through his incarnation and resurrection. And you see, God's salvation is really right in front of us. And he will come to you wherever you are. All you need to do is to respond and accept the free gift of salvation. And the final part of these verses is where I'm really focusing on this morning. That when we understand that salvation is accessible to anyone, then that message needs to be delivered to the ears of the unbeliever. Amen. And so that leads me with my original question to you. Will you go? Will you go and tell the world about the goodness of God, the gospel, that God loves us and he died for us so that we can be free from our sin? Will you go, church? As the Apostle Paul said, how can people believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Because faith comes from hearing the message. And if someone truly believes the gospel, if we truly, truly in our heart of hearts believe the gospel, it should naturally lead us to share it. There is a quote here by Charles Spurgeon. It says this: we are not to sit still and wait for souls to come to Christ. Amen. We must go to them. Jesus Christ himself said in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And so how much more should we? You know, I remember working in Lower Hutt as a scaffolder. And before I became a Christian, I was a scaffolder and got saved while scaffolding. When I was scaffolding at a home there, where there was three of us, there was this young guy who we got to know over a few weeks, and then there was our leading hand. And this young guy was working with us. I noticed one day he was really afraid of this bumblebee. And this one bumblebee was hanging around his leg, and this young guy was really cussing up a storm and running from this bee. And I was like, dude, like, what are you doing? And it didn't really occur to me that he may have been allergic. And what I discovered is that he was allergic to bee stings. And it would trigger anaphylaxis, which is a severe life-threatening allergic reaction. And I remember asking him, I said, have you ever, because I was so curious, I said, have you ever been stung before? And if so, what happens? Have you almost died? And he said, yes. I said, man, tell me what happens. I just wanted to know. And he said, well, the reaction is that my blood pressure would drop and I find it hard to breathe. And so that's what would happen. And he said this next thing, and I'll never, ever forget it. He said, I must have almost gone to the point of no return because I remember being in this tunnel, this dark, lonely tunnel, and it was pitch black. And I asked him, I said, do you remember anything about the tunnel or what was there anything at the end of the tunnel? And he says this. He says, all I know is that I was in this pitch black tunnel. I was alone. And at the end of the tunnel, it looked like burning fire. But when I almost reached the end of the tunnel, all of a sudden, I come back because of the adrenaline that has been injected into me. And I felt in that very moment, I wonder if he has heard the gospel before. And so I asked him, I said, look man, have you ever been to church? Have you read the Bible before? Do you believe in Jesus at all? And he says, none of the above. And I said, let me tell you some good news, my friend. And I tell you, I shared the gospel with this young man about God's rescue plan for all of humanity and what God had done through Jesus Christ. And I shared it. And God is so good because he immediately responded and he wanted to give his life to Jesus after hearing the great news that God saves. And so I led this young man to the Lord. But here, this is where it gets really cool, church. As while I'm talking to this young guy, while I'm talking to him, and I'm sort of working away down on the ground, and my leading hand, he's up on the scaffold and he's working. I'm sort of passing him the gear, and I'm talking to this young guy, and we have this conversation. And as I lead him to the Lord, my leading hand, who was up on the scaffold, he's overheard the whole conversation. And as I'm praying for this guy, and I'm leading him through the salvation prayer, what happens is my leading hand, I can hear him moving, and he's coming down the ladder, and he comes right beside us. And as I finish leading this guy to the Lord, this leading hand of ours, he comes over and he says, Jermaine, and I'll never forget these words, he says, Jermaine, will God forgive me too? And I said, of course he will. And I invite, and he too invited Jesus into his life. Man, that deserves a round of applause and praise to God, amen. And so I want to ask you again, church, will you go? Will you say what needs to be said? Will you tell the world? Will you take every opportunity to share the good news that Jesus saves? He forgave our sin. Because just as Paul said, again, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how then can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how then can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want to challenge you today, church. Are you up for a challenge? I want to challenge you today. And here's my challenge. It's very, very simple. To ask God for opportunities to share the good news. That's the challenge this morning. Ask for opportunities and strategic ways of sharing or being in a conversation that will lead you to sharing what you know to be true. That is my challenge to you, church. Will you take that challenge this morning? Opportunities in your workplace, opportunities with unsaved family members or friends that you have known for a long, long time, or maybe with your neighbor, maybe in a gym, maybe with the sports teams. In everyday life, I challenge you, church, to ask the Lord of the harvest that you would cross paths and create opportunities where you will be able to share the gospel. Because here's the thing. The gospel is for every person alive. Every person. Your neighbor, your work colleague, your friends, your mum and dad, if they are unsaved. The gospel is for everyone. And the Great Commission is for every believer. You see, Jesus said, and I say this again in Matthew 28. He says, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now listen to this next bit. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. And you see, a lot of people think that Jesus was just talking to his 12 disciples. But it doesn't say here, surely I am with you always to the very end of your 12 disciples. No.
Yeah, very good.
No, because where are they? Well, they're all dead. And the end of age hasn't yet come, amen?
Very good.
And so, well, who are the believers now who are left on this earth? Well, it's you and I.
Yeah.
The church. And so one last time, church, where will you go? Will you tell others about Jesus? And will you love like him? Because the gospel is for every person alive. And the Great Commission is for every believer. Amen?
Amen.
Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Lord God. I just want you now just to think of those unsaved people that you know in your life. Ones that you may have been trying to reach for such a long time. Or maybe even think about your neighbor that does not know Christ. And right now, I just want you to think about those individuals. Father, as we have thought about and know these people who we long to share the gospel with, and Lord, bring closer to you, I pray right now for every individual in this room that as they think of such people, that you would create a way where there seems to be no way. Lord God, where situations may be hard for them to be able to share, Lord, what they know to be true. Lord, the love that you have expressed to them and the grace, Lord God, that is for all people. I pray that you would make a way that seems to be no way. God, that you would create opportunities for every single person in this place. Lord God, that you would give them the words that they need to say at the right time. Oh Lord God, would you equip them with everything that they need, Lord God, as they go and they leave this place, Lord, knowing that we are called to such things, something that is greater than ourselves. Oh Lord God, we just want to commit those people that they are thinking of right now into your hands, Lord God. In some way, somehow, you would make a way, Lord God, where we could share the gospel to them. Lord God, that you would help us to be strategic in our thinking. Lord, that you would, Lord, help us in conversation where we may not be able to speak well or have the right words to say, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would indwell inside of us and speak through us, Lord God. And Lord, we would be able to bring those people closer to the truth, that the truth is that you love us and that you died for us and that you rose from the dead and now sitting next to the Father in heaven. Oh Lord, this is the gospel, that you died for us for the forgiveness of our sin. And so Lord, I bless each one today. Lord, with the right words, with the right ways to go, with the open doors, God, do what only you can do in their lives. Equip them with everything that they need, God, and bless them as they leave this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, bless the church. I'll hand it back to Pastor Bruce. Thank you, Pastor Bruce. Hey, if there's anyone who would like prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you. I'm sure Pastor Bruce will pray for you, but if you need prayer this morning, if you're just thinking, you know, you need something extra or anything in particular, please, please, I'd invite you forward this morning. Thanks, Pastor Bruce.
Just before we carry on, I feel like that was so beautiful. Jermaine, thank you for those stories of God's grace and redemption, and just coupled together with the challenge that is the mandate of every church. And I trust that the Holy Spirit has stirred that up within us this morning, and that God will help us to be doers of the word. But I just want to give opportunity, perhaps today there's someone, just as we bow our heads, perhaps today there's someone who has heard the incredible testimony of God's love to that mom who was in such a terrible place and cried out, God, show me if you're real. and you sent somebody to share with them of the love of God, share with them the fact that there was a God who loved them so much that he came in the flesh to die on the cross in order to carry the punishment and the consequence of sin upon himself so that we could be free. And if you're here today and you know your life is not in line, you know your life is, you're not living in victory, you're not living in freedom, you're not living in joy. Today, what you need is Jesus Christ. And there was that guy who was dying, he was going down a dark tunnel into the flames. And that's what the Bible talks about when we're separated from God. And our sin separates us from God. But if you're here this morning, God wants to take your sin away. If you're willing to repent and turn to him. So if that's you this morning, why don't you just pray this prayer. In the silence of your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Lord of Lords. And today I ask you to forgive my sin. I ask you to forgive my rebellion. And I return to you. I turn to you. Forgive me. And give me eternal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, follow that up by just coming and chatting to me, chatting to Jermaine, chatting to somebody you know as a Christian.